Yeah, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that continues to champion the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Thanks to us, by the way.
Thanks to us, yep.
And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I'm Walter DeRiley, a Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I continue to bring you the news that you can use to enlighten yourself on the world of pop culture.
Enlighten.
Enrich.
Enrich. We're like the gurus of comic culture.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. When's the last time you've been called for some advice on comic culture, Chris?
Well, a couple weeks ago, actually. A couple weeks ago. Yeah. Somebody actually sent me a bunch of texts with comics they found in their basement, and they wanted to know if they were worth anything.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
And they weren't.
They were not. Yeah. No.
You know what I tell guys sometimes? I'll get people bringing comics into the shop.
Right.
Right. And there's always that, you know, as a person about to look through the comics, there's always that, maybe this is the box, right?
Yeah,
maybe this is the box, right? And then, of course, more often than not, it's just, you know, some kife from the 90s and stuff.
Yep.
But what I always tell the people, and it seems to kind of help, is, hey, there's power in the knowledge that you have nothing. It's liberating.
Hey, well, for sure.
In a way, in a sense that, you know, you, sir, or you, ma'am, can do whatever you want with these things now, and you won't be out of pocket.
Right.
You won't be leaving any money on the table for anybody. You know, donate them to Goodwill. Donate them to the kids in the neighborhood. Donate them to your local library.
Use them as kindling.
Use them as kindling. Do whatever the heck you want with them. You are not going to regret it later.
Right.
You know what? And it makes most people feel good.
That is true.
You know what? Oh, okay, at least
But you know what? You hit a chord there when, you know, how many, I don't know if you go to garage sales or antique markets or whatever, flea markets or things like that. You know, I go to them once in a while, and I'm telling you, like, every single time I come across a comic box, I'm always thinking, "This is the one.
This is the one.
I'm gonna find those. I'm gonna find that action one." Or, you know, like,
you know what? For me, I swear it's not even an action one. Obviously, that's, you know, Detective 27 action one.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, oh, I want to find those cool, esoteric things that I've never seen.
Right.
Those really unique late 40s, early 50s books that, like, it's all the rage now. But I always enjoyed them the most.
Me too. Yeah,
right?
Me too.
I always, like, there are comics, you and I, as old veterans.
Old comic guys.
Old veterans. We approach comics, the old vintage comics, in two ways. One is the recognition of value.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. This person has Action Comics 252, the first Supergirl. I know that this is worth money.
Right.
It doesn't do anything for
me. No, I know. Right? Yeah.
But then there are those other ones. There's a person that opens up their little box of comics, and there's these cool, weird covers from 1952 that you've never seen before.
And you're going,
the fanboy just jumps out and goes, totally. Oh, I want these so bad.
Yeah,
right.
Totally, yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
And so there's that. And then, of course, there's the third one. It's like, ooh. Yeah, you can just
keep going.
Move along.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I know, right?
Anyway.
And you know what? You know what's funny is, as a collector, you and I have talked about this before. A lot of collectors are completists, right?
Yes.
So they like to
less and less, though, as the new wave of guys and girls.
Because
come in.
Nowadays it's more about esoteric covers or just covers in general,
or key issues.
But there are still a few people out there as a completist, and I was one of them. Not anymore, but I was one. And I always say that, you know, finding that last comic that you were looking for is always bittersweet. It's always the most exciting and the most devastating time ever.
Right, yeah.
Because now it's like, oh, hey, I got it. Oh, now what do I do? Oh, yeah, you have to think about something else.
I'm not going to do action. Maybe I'll do ROM, the Space Knight. That's all I could afford.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, listen, Chris, we always start the show with comics that are hitting the new this week stands at your local comic book shop, and today won't be any exception. And I want to introduce the sponsor to New This Week.
Yes.
And of course, it's Deleuze Fine Club Soda, VSOP Club Soda, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
Hey, listen, you snooze, Deleuze will be gone.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true.
So get it while you can.
I love it. All right. Well, listen, let's start the show off. We've got a couple of books here. First up, we've got The Return of Wolverine number 4. Now, this has been a big ongoing series now with, of course, Wolverine coming back. Written by Charles Soule and drawn by Declan Shalvey. This is, you know, the problem is, although this is being received very well and it's a good book, I don't care.
Hey, come on.
I just don't care. How many times can you flog a dead horse? He's, you know, he was went missing, he was dead, now he's back.
But Chris, he's Wolverine.
I know, but I just don't care. The problem is they drag these series out for so long. It just doesn't matter to me anymore. Remember, you know, he didn't have adamantium, then he did have it again, and, you know...
It's like, make up your mind.
Is he dead? Is he not dead?
Does he have adamantium? Doesn't, right? Doesn't he? Yeah. Does he drink Deleuze Club Soda?
I would, see, now, he? If he was drinking that in the book, I would buy it.
Fair enough. Right? Hey, listen, Return of Wolverine number 4... is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, we've got... now, this is a book I'm actually interested in. I think it looks really neat, and it's timely. This is Black Widow number 1. Now, this is a different... Black Widow number 1, written by Jen and Sylvia Soska, and the artist is Flaviano.
Flaviano.
Sounds like he should be on the cover of a Harlequin romance.
Yeah, he is. He's a good-looking Italian kid.
So Flaviano is the artist, and I actually like the art. It's an interesting art style. It's kind of a mixture between a John Romita Jr. and a Clayton Crane, and I don't really know what else, but I do like the art style. It's a good-looking book. That is
a good-looking book.
Chris's good-looking book
of the day. Is that drawn by Flaviano?
Flaviano.
Flaviano is his brother that doesn't get half the action he does.
The cover is by Clayton Crane.
Oh, Clayton Crane.
But the inside is by Flaviano.
Flaviano.
Not Flaviano.
Yeah, that's, again. All right, hey, Black Widow number 1 is at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, next up, we've got... Catwoman number 7.
Catwoman.
Now, Catwoman is Catwoman's a funny character. It seems to ebb and flow. Like they have a story for a long time, then it seems like they always start off storylines with Catwoman with somebody who's really got a story to tell, and then they try to continue it with somebody else who's just sort of an also-ran, and then it dies. And then it starts up again with somebody who's really got a story to tell, and then it dies. Like, it just seems to ebb and flow with the audience. And I don't really know what it is, but I do like the current storyline. The story is by Joelle Jones, and the art is by... Elena Casagrande and Fernando Blanco. Fernando Blanco.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando?
But what I actually really like is the cover on this one is by a guy named Ben Oliver. Now, Ben Oliver is you can tell he does a lot of watercolor kind of artwork. And I'm not going to say he's an Alex Ross, because I feel like I would...
Is he an Esad Ribic?
It's a different style. He's more Alex Ross than Asad Ribic, but he's an amazing painter, and I really really love the cover.
I like that.
It's a great cover this week, and
it reminds me too of a little bit of the Sans the Pixels, of those Fables covers.
Yes, kinda. A little bit. You know, yeah, by James Jean.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit, right?
But it's got an Alex Ross esque appearance to it.
Yes, James Jean esque.
James Jean esque. You know, a little while ago.
This is a good looking book, right?
It is a good looking book. That cover is amazing.
Yes.
You know the and he did a cover for Freedom Fighters, which was re-released. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before that, but they re-released Freedom Fighters comic, and he did a cover of Uncle Sam. And again, you first look at it, you think it's Alex Ross because in the corner of your eye, because you're used to Alex Ross doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. It's actually a different style, and in my opinion, it's a great looking artist.
Hey, Chris. So I don't know. I mean, I like Batman as much as the next fella.
Sure,
but I always got confused. I got confused with Catwoman, Batwoman,
yeah,
and Batgirl.
Okay.
I think I got Batgirl down. Batgirl turned into the Oracle.
Right.
But Batwoman and Catwoman. So Batwoman, was she ever a bad one? Catwoman's a bad guy.
Catwoman's the bad girl. That's yeah. Selina Kyle.
That's right.
Batwoman is good.
Is the Batwoman still around, or is it yes. Batgirl that's around?
No, there's both.
Oh, there's two separate ones.
There's two separate ones. Right. Yes.
Okay.
So Batgirl and Batwoman are around.
Batgirl and Batwoman correct. Are around.
Okay. Now, it's not the Batwoman of the 1950s where she had the purse and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
right.
It is a different kind of Batwoman. In fact, there's a Batwoman that's actually now on...
Catwoman is the one that was in the 60s TV show.
Correct.
That was Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt. But Batgirl was also in the 60s TV show.
And she was Lee Merriweather.
Yvonne Craig.
Oh. Who was Lee Merriweather?
Lee Merriweather was another Catwoman.
Oh.
So in the Batman TV
series. School me, Chris.
In the Batman TV series.
Hey, Chris is the professor.
The professor. There are many schools of thought on the Catwoman. In the Batman TV series, there was Eartha Kitt,
uh-huh.
Lee Merriweather, and...
C'est bon.
And,
Lee Merriweather, Eartha Kitt, and
Julie Newmar. So I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe Lee Merriweather was in the Batman movie.
Ah.
And Eartha Kitt and
Chris,
Julie Newmar.
Chris, as a male...
Yes.
Which of those three female... Catwoman's was the most
Julie Newmar by far.
Oh yeah,
yeah, by far. How about you?
She exuded the
you know what
Catwoman-esque sexuality that you liked.
Even when you see pictures of her without in not in the because she was like a model,
right?
Not in the Catwoman outfit.
Uh-huh.
She still had those cat-like eyes. Like she just exuded Catwoman,
right?
So
yeah, I don't remember. Enough.
You don't remember. So then there's also now. Let's not get carried away here, but you remember there's also. More recently, Michelle Pfeiffer was Catwoman.
That's right. She was, wasn't
there
she?
There was also Halle Berry was Catwoman.
That's right. She was, oh my goodness, all these
and,
Catwoman
and
people.
And I'm going to forget her name, but there was a Catwoman in the most recent Christopher Nolan movies, whose name escapes me right now, but I will think about it right now. And
Margot Kidder.
It was not Margot Kidder.
No?
Let me see. I'm going to quickly see if I can remember what this
so,
is here.
That's an excellent, excellent tutorial on Catwoman.
Right.
Hey, Chris, do you know the first appearance of Catwoman? What comic book that was in?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
It was Batman. It wasn't Detective. It was Batman.
Right. I'll give you a hint. It's the most valuable Batman comic.
Okay. I'm going to say 148.
No, Batman number one.
Oh, most expensive Batman comic.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Because
Catwoman was co-introduced
right.
with a certain minor villain called the Joker.
The Joker, right.
That went on to become really big.
Sort of big, yeah. Uh-huh.
Anne Hathaway.
It was also
Hathaway.
Catwoman in Batman, Dark Knight Rises.
Right, okay.
So there's actually been quite a few. Now, I'm not going to get into all the people that played Catwoman in the cartoons and all that kind of stuff, but as far as live-action ones, I'm pretty sure that's just about it.
Right on. Hey, Chris, really good-looking book, Catwoman number 7, is at your local comic book shop. Check that out.
Good-looking book there.
Hey,
all right.
Chris.
Yes.
While I have you.
Yeah, you got me right here.
So, I was talking to somebody, I forget who it was, which really helps the conversation.
That's
you and
great.
I
yeah, that's good.
And they were talking to me about them, I think it was a comic shop owner, and they were talking to me about kids, young millennial types, coming into his shop, and they go, whoa! This is so cool. And then what they would do is they would get their phone out and take a picture of it.
Right.
And so that was their way of having it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That blew my mind.
Well, that's okay.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? So it's funny you should say that. That's a trend that really has been going on for a number of years now. And where I first noticed it was, now I don't have kids.
Right.
But I noticed that my friends, you know, as we were getting married and getting older, my friends would start having kids. And, you know, I'd ask them and say, hey, Fred, what does little Johnny want?
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know what? He doesn't want anything because he goes online, he watches YouTube, and he has more joy watching other people open up stuff.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Uh-huh. And they just like to see it. They don't necessarily need to have it.
Right.
Right? So
they're way ahead of us.
Yeah.
They are way ahead of us.
Super way ahead of us.
We even had to have it.
Got to have it all.
Got to have it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honey, I got to have it.
Yeah. That's different.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's different.
That's my problem. The note was different.
But see, and this is where I think that because of this whole concept,
mm-hmm.
I think the trend in collecting is changing. Not only because of that, but also because, you know, just recently a friend of mine gave me some comics for Christmas.
Okay.
And
Comics
for Christmas. That sounds like a good
store program.
Store program, yeah.
Comics for Christmas.
Comics for Christmas. And he was wondering, but they were slabbed. They were CGC graded.
Uh-huh.
And he said, but now you can't read them.
Ah.
So there is a huge population out there, I would say, of the vast majority of people that still are heavily beliefed in the fact that when people buy even older comics,
right.
we're buying them to read them.
Right.
And we're not.
They are heavily beliefed.
Heavily beliefed.
I didn't even hear what you said after that.
Heavily believed.
Because my brain tripped on it. And then I was waiting for you to stop talking. So I could say heavily believed. What did you say after that?
Heavily believed
uh-huh.
in the fact that they think that we buy comics just to read.
Right. Okay. I got it. Sorry. Now, hey, we got to stay on top of this. We're going to get out of you this week sometime.
Well, we got lots of time.
We got all the time in the world. I got to stay on top of this. So how's this? And I'm sure this is a thing. So you and I are young.
Yes.
Handsome looking.
Absolutely.
Young guys.
Fit.
Got
to get a good image for all those.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, 20-somethings and we're into comics. And we got our phones.
Right.
And then you and I make a lifetime pact.
Yeah.
We're going to have a registry set.
Okay.
And what counts is the book in our left hand.
Right.
And our picture of it.
Right.
And we store it away in a library.
Only a picture or the actual book?
The book.
Okay.
We have to be holding the book.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
We have to be holding the book.
Okay, yeah.
So you're going around the shows. Yep. And you're going, excuse me, Mr. Yee.
Excuse me, Harley.
Yeah, can I hold that book? And you go, sure. Certainly.
Yeah.
And then you take a picture of it.
Mm.
And you put it in your collection.
So
library.
I don't own the book.
You have touched the book.
Okay, I've touched
so
it.
So now you're, yes. Oh my God, you know, I really need a suspense 3.
Right.
I don't have a suspense 3.
Right.
Well, what do you mean? Do you have like a Tech 27? Oh yeah, I got a Tech 27
yeah,
and I got
yeah.
a Tech 35 and I don't have a suspense. Like, really? No, like the pictures, just the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So you make a collecting a library on your phone, like
right.
a file
yeah.
of all the comics you've held in your hand with you taking a picture of that.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And that's your collection.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, your lifetime achievement is to have all, you know, all of them.
And you have no actual...
But you can't just go online and take a picture. That
no,
doesn't
no,
count.
You have to almost have to have a selfie
yeah,
with each one.
Kind of
yeah.
almost like a selfie.
Yeah,
but as long as you have, like, a little tattoo, a smiley face tattoo
on
your thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whatever.
Okay.
You know, that counts.
Right.
Right? And so...
So, okay. So, now, is there an end goal to this? Like, is there
it's a competition.
Okay. So, what does the winner get?
What do you mean, what's the winner get?
Well, if it's a competition, there has to be a winner and a loser.
Oh, right. And you have to pick an age.
Right.
Like, okay, we're 20-somethings. Do we pick 50? Do we
right.
pick 60?
By the time we reach
yeah.
this age.
And who wins? We compare our libraries.
Yep.
And, like, the winner gets, like, a coffee.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I love it.
Or the winner has to buy the loser the cheapest book in the album.
Or a $7 Wendy's meal.
Or $7 Wendy's
yeah,
meal.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that just kind of right. came to me.
I like that idea. We should start that.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's
All
do
right.
it. All right.
All right.
Okay.
What else we
where
got? We're, we? on New This Week, by the way.
Okay. We're going to do one more book here, only because I feel like we haven't done any DC. So we got to do The Batman Who Laughs.
And The Batman Who Laughs.
Yes. So The Batman Who Laughs is a great book. I love the story by Snyder, and the art is awesome by Jacques. It's a great book. And of course, this is sort of a mix between Joker and Batman from another dimension type thing. So,
right.
But it's a great character. I love, it's really being fleshed out really well. And it's a good looking book.
It's a good looking book. Yeah. It is a good looking book. That's The Batman Who Laughs #2. And that's available at your local comic book shop, as are many, many others. Please go into your local comic book
shop. Many, many others.
And check out the new this week.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about comics and all kinds of fun and wonderful things. What are we going to play here? Let's play this one right here.
Sweetness, Chris. That's sweetness. Hey, that brings us to industry news part of the show. And pardon me, I was a little verklempt there.
A little verklempt.
And the industry news part of our show is brought to us by Stella Artois Club Soda.
Nice.
Be a Brando and cry out for a Stella.
Stella Club Soda!
All right.
That? All right. So, hey, what are we going to talk about? Let's talk. Okay, first off the top, I think we should talk about the fact that the new Spider-Man trailer came out
a
couple days ago. Yesterday, yeah. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
So
I got a call yesterday. I'll pretend the phone's ringing. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Hello?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Walt, take all your Hydromans. Pull them out of the bin. I go, what? I go, yeah, the Spidey trailer just dropped and Hydra Man is in there. Ah. And they're just like, pull him out of the bin. I go, well, they said Hydra Man was going to be in there like a year ago.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
So wait. Should I be beep, beep, beep.
Oh, wait a minute. You haven't seen the trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Well.
I promised my wife I would. We haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it together, and I promised my wife I wouldn't watch it without her.
Well, how the hell am I going to talk about the damn thing?
Okay, fine. You can talk about it. I just won't listen.
Okay, go ahead.
Like I normally do.
Okay. So the trailer.
Go ahead.
No, the trailer dropped. Yep. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, the trailer dropped. It's fantastic.
Cool.
But you knew the spec on the characters that were going to be in the trailer,
some
right?
I knew one of the characters.
Like?
Mysterio.
Okay, so he's in there. And there was another one. I won't tell you.
I think I heard of it, but is it Molten Man?
Yeah, Molten Man.
Okay.
We'll stop there. Check out the trailer. Lots of excitement online about these trailers. I love how these trailers create excitement.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
online,
absolutely. Yeah.
And hey, it's good for the book.
Now, speaking of trailers.
Yes.
Now, I know. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't.
You should. It's very
good.
Yeah,
I heard.
You should.
Yeah.
But as long as you have to make sure you're able to all of a sudden devote, I don't know, like
a year?
Well, 70 hours of time to get
caught
up.
Isn't it 100 episodes?
It's in its eighth season.
Well, how long is each episode?
An hour-ish.
Oh, crepe.
But with no commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 10 episodes-ish per season. So you're looking at like 70 hours worth of your time.
I don't got it.
It's fine. Well, you can get it done in like a week.
Oh yeah!
All you have to do is just don't
book off.
Book off. Just don't go to work and sleep very little.
Right on.
You'll be fine.
All right.
Listen, okay. But new trailer for that dropped on Sunday as well. There's all kinds of talk.
So wait
about
a minute.
That.
The final season 8
final
is
season,
coming out.
Yep.
When in May, April, March.
I think it's April, but I don't remember. I think it's April though.
Right. Now, have you been a Season of Thrones?
You know what? I have. I got caught up. I started late.
What's it called again?
Game of Thrones. Season of Thrones.
Season.
I like. I think we should watch Season of Thrones.
We had joy, we had fun, we had the seasons of the thrones.
So yes, I did get caught up. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me something.
It actually...
Tell me something good.
It actually took me a few episodes, a few times to get into it. Because
why are you telling me that? Here's a guy...
You're not going to watch it anyways.
Okay, good point.
So I'm just saying, I'd play it up, though. I'm just saying that, you know, I had to watch the first three episodes like three times before I can. Now,
well, it's because you're a little
too
slow.
Drunk.
Yeah, okay, too drunk. Slow. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know, it's the it's the way I roll, right? So yeah. No, okay. No, seriously, I just I didn't quite get the hype the first couple times, and then I watched it again, and I finally got into it. So
tell
what?
Tell me. What it, don't tell me what it's about.
Okay.
But tell me the genre.
The genre. Fantasy.
Fantasy.
So, you know, dragons and...
Dragons.
And swords.
So
and
it's
sorcery,
Lord of the Rings.
Ish. You know, as somebody described it to me was, it's Lord of the Rings with boobs.
Why didn't you tell me that in the first place?
You know...
I'm all over that.
Well, okay, now you can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Lord of the Rings with boobs.
Uh-huh. How... Are there more... if you had to weigh the dragon to boob ratio,
depends on the episode. Early episodes more boob, later episodes more dragon.
Right on.
So okay, the, you know the boob gets you really
hook you in.
It hooks you in. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Fair. All right. Well, if I ever do start it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, you keep it to yourself though.
Okay,
right?
I will. Yeah, I will. Okay. All right, so that's exciting. So you had the Conan, not the Conan. What am I talking
Conan.
About? The Spider-Man.
Yes.
Trailer drops. The what do you call that thing?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones trailer drops.
Yeah.
Also, big news I hear.
Yeah.
Is that you actually saw the Venom movie?
I did see the Venom movie.
And how was it? Finally. What's your critique? Real quick.
In strange, quirky movie. I didn't hate it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't love it.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to see it again.
Right.
But it was interesting. It
Fair.
Was. You know what was? It was a very weird dichotomy of images and dialogue. So, what do I mean by that? Well,
what do you mean by that?
So, exactly,
the heck out of me, Chris.
It's a great question. Great question. I'm glad you brought it up, Walt.
Thank you.
So, Venom is a scary-ish character. Now, beep, 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 beep. Spoiler alert: Venom is the scary-ish character, as we know.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler.
No, as we know, as I said.
Uh-huh.
So, however, it's a strange movie in the first place because he has a conversation. So, what's his name? The main
Venom.
Actor, Venom. The you know Eddie Brock, the character,
Eddie Brock.
Has conversations with Venom in his head. So we don't see Venom, but we hear his voice.
Oh, we hear Venom's.
We
voice.
We hear Venom's voice.
Right.
So right there and then.
So wait a minute.
Okay.
Does
yeah.
Eddie Brock play?
Brock,
huh?
Eddie Brock.
Played by this Tom Brady
Tom
guy?
Hardy, yeah.
Tom Hardy,
yeah.
Tom
exactly,
Hardy?
Exactly, yeah. Does
okay.
a very good job.
Uh-huh.
But played by Tom Hardy. And then, so he's walking around, and now, so this, as we know, the symbiote takes control of him. And so, but he starts hearing things, and what he's hearing is Venom's voice, which never plays well in a movie. Whenever
right.
you see the person and it's supposed to be somebody else's voice, like
uh-huh.
he's hearing voices, mm. it looks hokey to a
right,
point.
Right, right.
But what makes it even stranger is so we see the monster come out, we see him acting really weird, and then he Venom, talking to Eddie Brock, makes comments like, "It's okay, Eddie, you know, I know you're a loser, but I'm a loser too on my home world."
Huh.
So, but it's like it's that gruff growly.
Right,
Eddie. I am a loser too. You
yeah,
know, and it's just,
my favorite singer's Tom Waits.
It's just so weird.
Uh huh.
It was interesting. I don't, as I said, I don't need to see it again. I'm sure there'll be a sequel. There's certainly an Easter egg at the end of the movie that promotes a possibility of a sequel.
Right. Exciting.
So yeah, I don't know. It's
all
just,
right. Then I'm going to take your advices.
Advices?
And not see the movie.
Yeah. I don't think you need to.
Okay.
I don't think you need to.
All right. Hey, I wanted to ask you about Conan. And we talked about
Conan.
Conan.
What is best in life?
Continuity. Conan coming in the Avengers No Road Home or something like
right.
that. They're writing Conan into continuity.
Right.
I want to ask you, Is it going to work? What's your opinion?
Okay,
I want it so badly to work because Conan is one of my top five comic fiction characters.
I know you love Conan. Mm-hmm. I know Conan is up there like
top three.
So yeah. Can I guess your top three?
Sure.
I'm gonna say like
bread and butter. As bread and butter as you can get.
Conan.
Yeah.
Spidey.
Yeah.
And Luke Cage.
Batman.
Batman. Yeah. I thought Luke Cage was your...
Luke Cage is four or five.
Okay.
I liked him.
Batman. All right, that's fair. Yeah. But I know Conan's up there for you.
Yeah, Conan is right there. Like, Batman, you can't deny Batman because there's so many great stories.
Right.
And you can't deny Spidey because he's the best of the best.
Right.
Out of all of them.
He's the ultimate.
Yeah. And then Conan, So those are my three favorite comic...
So... Conan is back at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue, came out last week. Sold out very well. Sold out a lot of places.
Yep.
I didn't get a chance to see all the covers, but there's multiple covers by different people that came out. And they all sold out very well. Conan is now coming back into the Marvel fold after being with Dark Horse, I believe it was.
Yep.
I had to think about that because Dark Horse has had Conan, yet IDW had Red Sonja, which Red Sonja was an offshoot of Conan during the Marvel days. So, sorry, anyways, a little tangent there. But anyways, Conan is back at Marvel, and I hope it works out. I can't see it happening, though. I don't understand how the continuity would work, because where would, Hibernia? What's the name? Isn't there
the Hibernian age? Sumeria is where he's from. Yeah, but Sumeria in the old days would be like, I don't know, Ireland or Scandinavia in the new days or something.
That area, that country doesn't exist in the current Marvel. Marvel 616, I'll call it, in the Earths, unless all of a sudden here's this Earth, this area we found that didn't. We didn't realize.
Yeah, that's
still
what
there.
Worries me too. I don't know. That's
you know,
what worries
unless
me
there's
too.
Time. I mean, if there's time travel,
I want it to work.
Yeah,
and abilities play. You know, abilities. Well, this guy is a superstitious, you know, vagabond. That drinks and womanizes and is afraid of wizards.
Yeah.
Is there going to be like a whole? Miniseries devoted to his sensitizing to the modern age.
To Doctor Strange.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So
yeah,
I want it to work, but I'm worried. As a fan, I want it to work so badly.
I do too.
But I'm worried.
I have a feeling that what they're going to do is...
Oh, yeah.
They're going to insert Conan into certain storylines where it suits them, and they're going to make it work. Whether it be interdimensional transportation or something like that.
Right.
And then he'll go back to his own Hibernia or Hiborian time frame or whatever you call it.
Right.
At some point. I don't think he's going to... Although he's going to be in the Marvel continuity, he's not going to stay.
They need Marvel a movie, continuity. Chris, where you got Conan, Devil Dinosaur, Kazar...
Yes.
Like all these misfits that don't really belong in the Marvel universe, all coming into like some sort of movie they're all like walking around going, what's going on?
I mean, I guess if Conan was in the Savage Land, it might work, but even the Savage Land's a little bit different from what we're used to. I mean, Conan can't fight frost
Kazar.
Giants.
Kazar.
Fight frost giants or Kazar or Devil Dinosaur.
Who's the girl that Cho used to draw?
Sheena. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she can be in that.
There you go. Instead of Red Sonja.
So I'd read that.
I would read that. But again, Sheena is a property of IDW now.
Hey. Wow. Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Thanks,
wah.
Chris.
But you know what? Marvel does have Shanna the She-Devil.
Shanna the She-Devil.
Yes.
Wonderful. Hey, Chris, let's finish off before we go into break by recognizing that Tintin is 90 years old.
Is it really?
Yes, it's way back.
That's almost as old as you, Walt.
Yeah, you know, I feel 50, though. it's 1929. Now, that's the same age as Tugboat Willie.
As Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie. I like Tugboat Willie, though.
Wow.
I thought Tugboat Willie...
pictures new connotations.
Conjures up a different image.
That's what I wanted to say, but I said pictures up connotations.
Yeah, it's okay.
ESL, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
So
we love you anyways.
So 1929, same as Mickey Mouse. And it's funny when you think about it. I don't think there's been an original Tintin since the 70s. And I don't know if there's been – I mean, obviously there might have been – I think there's some – is there been original Mickey Mouse stuff in the last decade? Like original
there, you know,
stories?
There have been in there's the odd short or two, like a little animated thing. Every once in a while, they come out with one.
You think they'll ever go back to doing
like a full
movie? No. 2 minute cartoons before movies.
You know what? They do stuff like that before the Pixar movies.
Yeah. Like my favorite was in those Ice Age ones.
Yeah.
That damn squirrel.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part. It was better than the movie.
I know. I totally. Looking for a little nut.
Uh-huh.
The acorn.
Yeah.
They still do little short vignettes, I'll call them.
Right.
Before the Pixar movies.
Uh-huh.
It's never going to happen before a regular movie. I'm telling you, I went to the movies the other day. I took my nieces to go see Aquaman. And I think it got to a point where I forgot what movie we went to go see because there's so many commercials and trailers before the actual movie. I think it was like a half an hour of that stuff before the movie actually started.
Now, I think you and I talked about this earlier in 2018, Chris. I think there was something about Warner Brothers financing about 800 shorts.
Oh, I remember something that. About that. Yeah.
Hoping that they come
soon. Maybe, we'll never know.
Anyway, happy birthday, Tintin. You're 90, but you still look like a kid.
There was a Tintin movie recently.
Yeah, about 5 years ago with, what's the guy's name? Spielberg.
Yes, he produced it.
He produced it or something
Did
like
you
that.
See it?
No, it was on TV. You know how it's on TV, and I kind of caught like a half hour
how
of it.
How was it?
It's the same as the comic. And I've read Tintin comics.
Right.
And how can I say this about Tintin comics? They're very linear.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're very linear.
Yeah.
They're thick in content. So if you read a Tintin album, Tintin in the Soviets or Tintin in the Congo or Tintin wherever, they are, it takes you a while to read them.
Right.
There's a lot of meat to them.
Sure.
But it's very kind of linear.
Okay.
Like, and it's just, okay, and Tintin goes here and then he goes there and then he goes there and then he goes there. And then there's no like tension and, you know, like Frank Miller or you know, I don't know who, Alan Moore writing it or something, but there's no storytelling techniques to oh my God, right? It's just kind of a progression of events that Tintin goes through.
Interesting.
And it's, I don't know. That's the way I felt about Tintin.
Yeah, I get it. Like an adventure kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just keeps on going. All right.
So anyway, happy birthday, Tintin.
Oh, that's very nice of you. All right. Well, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And then we're going to come back and talk more about what's going on in the comic book industry.
Chris, I like
that. That one?
I love that one. I haven't heard that one in a while.
No, I know. It's been a while. I thought we'd give that one a try.
Chris, that brings us to industry news part deux.
Part deux.
Part deux. And part deux is brought to us by Hennessy Very Special Club Soda.
Very special club soda.
And Chris, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the Hennessy Club Soda is always the first empty club soda.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah, it really
and there's
is.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. Then it goes the Deleuze Club Soda and then the St. Remy Club Soda.
Then the St. Remy Club Soda. Yeah. All fine club soda houses.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Right?
Very
they
good.
All get their bubbly from the same wellspring.
All right. Listen, you and I were talking before the show.
Yes.
And
it's the world is coming to an end.
The world is coming to an end. This is it.
As we know it.
As we know it.
And I feel fine.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
In 2019, and you and I were talking about, billions and trillions of dollars
yep.
have been made. Let's start. Do you want to start with the Avengers, or do you want to start with?
Let's start with Avengers.
Okay.
So
Avengers 4.
It's coming out this
late April.
April, yeah.
Uh-huh. The week before Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And that is kind of the climax, if you'll right. call it, the apex, the kind of, you know, crescendo.
Right.
Of this whole 10-year project of Marvel Cinema moving toward this orgasmic ending.
That is an image that you portrayed that I'll never get out of my head again.
Right. Well, therapy will
orgasmic
help.
Ending. All right, listen.
So, which brings to mind how utterly successful the last 10 years have been. We I don't think we can wrap our head around.
I mean,
what just happened?
It was unprecedented for its time.
Unprecedented.
They started with the Iron Man movie.
Right.
Then went on to the Incredible Hulk movie.
Cap movie.
Avengers
First Avengers.
Iron Man again. And yeah, Guardians. All that stuff. Yep. Doctor Strange. Guardians.
Yeah.
So it has been a wonderful ride with mm-hmm. Thor and all your favorite characters uh-huh. and movies. But really, you know, they were very smart about the way they did it.
Beyond smart.
Uh-huh. They filmed them in ways that if nothing ever happened afterwards, that was fine.
Yeah.
It ended. Yeah. It was done. Mm-hmm. But they also ended in a way where they could continue it on.
They created a new ground, paradigm, whatever, a playing field for the way movies can be made.
Absolutely. And
like it was revolutionary in many, many ways.
And people are trying to copy it now, uh-huh. and they're not as successful.
Right. Well, maybe not the first, second try, but I'm sure some things will come about of this. It's just
even it's so unbelievable. You know, we're seeing it in DC. They're trying to do that the movie thing with all interconnecting characters.
Mm-hmm.
But even characters, M. Night Shyamalan is going to have, he had his Unbreakable movie, which came out like 15 years ago, and uh-huh. then Split came out a couple years ago, and now we have Glass coming out, and now he's basically wrapping all that up into be one of his own kind of universes, right?
Right. But I guess the question we have is, we can all sit here and applaud ourselves and say, hey, we're part of this
yep.
comic book universe that brought about this mega hits and all this kind of stuff, this revolution in movie.
Yep.
But what, Chris? Nobody's. Is anybody? Are we afraid to ask what awaits us after the Avengers?
Well, I don't think we're afraid to ask, but we're almost going to be afraid to find out.
Yeah,
because we've been asking and no one's telling us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we know. Here's what we know. We know that there's going to be the Spider-Man movie.
Right.
We know that there's going to be a Black Widow movie. That's been said. They're looking for directors.
We know also that the Captain Marvel movie, while it'll lead into Avengers, will also segue into its own sequel.
Correct.
Right. So that is post-Avengers 4.
We know there's going to be a Black Panther movie.
Uh-huh.
And we know there's going to be eventually, we don't know when, a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Did we say Doc Strange? Is that his coming?
Well, we think there's going to be one, uh-huh. but there hasn't really been a whole lot of talk about that.
Right.
So those are the things there's all been like talk on the internets about all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
But really, we don't know what the crux is going to be to bring all that together, much like Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. We don't know is there going to be a single, plot thread throughout the next phase, or is this going to be, a series of non-connecting movies?
Right.
We don't know, right?
So engrossing, so encompassing, so enthralling is this 10-year ride been?
Yeah.
That I'm gonna dare to ask the question. You know how, and we've talked about this years ago, and we've always kind of come up with the same answer that the character is the prevalent, but. If you extrapolate back, Bruce Wayne has to be Batman.
Right.
We've tried other things. It doesn't work.
Right.
Clark Kent is the only Superman. There can't be another Superman.
Right.
Can you juxtapose that after this 10-year Marvel project and actually utter the words, Robert Downey Jr. has to be Iron Man?
Well, okay. First of all, yes and no. So first of all, you started it with saying, Bruce Wayne has to be Batman,
mm-hmm.
But that's a character who's portraying an alter ego.
I know that, but I'm saying that's why I use the words juxtapose.
Right. Okay.
Because
okay.
It's not an exact correlation question.
Right.
But is it the same thought process? Is it the same ingrained, embedded?
I think there,
because after one movie, Chris, a Ruffalo or whoever Banna, doesn't matter.
Yes.
But we're talking about an unprecedented 17 movie ride that has, you know what I'm
saying.
Just too much invested?
Right.
It's impossible to separate the actor from the character because of how successful the Marvel movies were.
Right.
Again, this is unprecedented.
Right.
You can switch Spidey after two films because it's a standalone movie and it's just two films with one actor and then pick a new actor.
Right.
But Spidey wasn't part of...
Okay, I agree with
what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. So I think RD Jr., you know, is... I can't see anybody else playing him. If he's going to play him, it has to be a different type of Tony Stark. It has to be a different type of Iron Man. It has to be a younger or an older, or it has to be a different, completely different take on the character. Mm-hmm. We can't have the same... You can't possibly have the same character portrayed by a different actor because it's too ingrained.
Right.
So, and I'm going to say the same thing about Wolverine.
Right.
Hugh Jackman. Is going to be, he's always Wolverine. Now, mm-hmm. having said that, I can see somebody else playing Thor.
Yep.
I can see somebody else playing Spider-Man, Black Widow.
Yep.
I don't want to see anybody else playing Captain America. I think Chris Evans is awesome at it.
That's because you're a cap.
I know.
You're just a fanboy.
You know,
that's what you are.
I can see somebody else playing Doctor Strange.
Well, here's the silver lining
for me.
Here's the silver lining for me. Because I've thought about this and I worry about it, and like a fanboy worries about it.
Yeah.
I don't lose sleep at night over it, but I just, you know, as a thought process, worry about it. The silver lining is Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Yeah.
How is the silver lining Chris Pine?
Because you cannot separate Bill Shatner from Jim Kirk.
Correct.
But Pine did it.
Yes. Given a lot of time, right? A lot of years went by before they had...
We're not talking about a lot of years when it comes to me, right? When it comes to me, a 50-plus person that has got Jim Kirk in my blood,
right?
I bought in
Did
to
you?
Abrams'
okay.
Kirk. Like, I say, okay, this is my new Kirk. This is him.
Okay.
This is James T. Kirk.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it was, I didn't want to at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I found myself going, yeah. But that was a masterful match.
Right.
You know, so you can just say, yeah, of course it'll work. But if you don't have the right match, you can put Jason Momoa and Conan
and
bomb.
Yeah.
That's not. And I don't think that means that Arnold is the only guy that can play Conan, even though my you know,
your fanboy
instinct
says that.
Tells me that.
Right,
yeah, my fanboy tells me that. But I think Chris Pine taking over, you can't get more entrenched actor to character than Kirk and Shatner.
Yeah, you know.
And yet Pine has done a good job of
yeah, you're right.
Taking
you're right.
over.
You're right. I'm not a big fan of Chris Pine. However, I'm a minority. There's a lot of people that love him, clearly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the movies wouldn't have done as well
as
they
did. I just
got
one problem with him, and he's way too good looking.
I know, right?
You know? So,
not as good looking as you, though, Walt.
Oh, well.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Goes without saying.
But, you know, it's... I agree. But I think the characters, for the most part, as much as... You know... Although I'm going to say I can't see anybody else playing him,
mm-hmm.
I can't see anybody else playing Iron Man, I can't see anybody else playing Wolverine, but clearly somebody will.
That's right.
Clearly somebody will.
That's right.
So
there better be 700 screen tests. And they should take it to screen audiences, test audiences. Remember those Saturday Night Live? Those were some of the best skits ever, where they had the takeoffs of the Star Wars
screen tests.
Screen tests.
Oh my goodness, those
were
great.
You know, Burt Reynolds trying out for Han Solo.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and or Walter Cronkite going for
Obi-Wan
Kenobi. No, not Walter Cronkite.
Walter Matthau.
Yeah,
And then they had Richard Dreyfuss as C-3PO.
That's right. Those are great.
I don't need this. I was in Jaws.
Hey, listen. Great segue into the second part of this conversation that you and I are having.
Yes.
And that is, Chris, 42 years of the Skywalker Star Wars.
Yes. It's coming
is over. I don't. Bigger than what Marvel has done over the last 42 years, perhaps, has been Star Wars.
Well, you know,
in terms of the merchandise that they've generated, and then, you know, oh my goodness.
But you know what's funny is I think people forget that after Return of the Jedi, around 1985 until probably around 1995, there was zero Star Wars.
And even the ones in the 90s, the three, they had no Skywalker.
Well, there was, which ones in the 90s?
The ones with...
the prequels?
David Hasselhoff and whoever was in it. who's the guy that was Anakin?
But you're talking about the prequels.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm talking about before prequels didn't come out until like
99.
Yeah. I'm talking about between like 85 and 95 ish.
Right.
There was like literally zero Star Wars stuff. I mean, I think the comic ended around 85. And then there was the odd novel. I remember getting excited about Bookmarks when they came out. So like, for about 10 years, there was literally zero.
I guess that's a good point. I guess we forget about that in the haze of our, like, our admiration.
They started with novels again, and then they started, I think it was around 90, maybe 94, 95, they started re-releasing action figures again. But there was a long time where there was literally zero Star Wars anything out there. So I totally get what you're saying. This is coming to an end, but there was a time when there was nothing. Now, having said that, this is the culmination. This is the ending that we know of.
Right. So what happens to Star Wars after this?
Well,
Marvel is kind of setting up what's happening after Avengers 4.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a continuation of the thing. I think basically what I think Marvel is doing is they're just kind of go to another plot.
Okay, well, so here's what I'm going to say.
Another culminating plot that'll happen within the next 15 movies.
So the next movie is episode 9.
Right.
I'm going to blow your mind here.
Blow it.
What if there is an episode 10?
Stop it, Chris.
What if there's an episode 10 that continues the story of whatever characters are in episode 9, say Rey or, you know, Kylo Ren, and then that's the beginning of another trilogy. Or So who's to say that the although our mind thinks of the last 9 years as being the story of the Skywalkers,
right?
You know, but it could also lead into the next storyline, the next chapter.
Are the Skywalker old time fans anti Rey and Ren?
Yes and no. I know some that are, and I know some that love everything. They just want Star Wars.
They want the Star Wars universe.
They want Star Wars told in a good way. And they don't care as long as it's interesting, right?
Right.
So, you know, and why not have Rey be the next Luke Skywalker, which she already kind of is? But why not have her lead into the next trilogy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or whoever. Right. It can be. I don't know what the stories are going to be, but why not? Why not have? Why do they have to reinvent the wheel?
Well, I don't know, but they're ending it. So, like,
are they though? We don't know, but they haven't told us that there's going to be one.
I guess we've grown up being told that it's a 9-story story,
and that story may be finished, but there may be as one door closes, another one opens.
Another one opens,
right? So why not have this? I mean, just like the Marvel movies do, they leave it off on a quasi cliffhanger where, you know, the movie could be finished or it could continue on. Now, having said all that, Certainly there's going to be offshoots and the storylines, and there's got the Mandalorian TV series, which is going to be on Disney's own version of Netflix. And
right.
There's lots of stuff that's going to continue the Star Wars franchise.
Right.
But as far as that storyline goes, it may continue. We just don't know.
Right. I think the big difference, maybe the big difference between the two, you know, Disney properties of Marvel and Star Wars, let's say, is post number nine. Post number nine Star Wars, it's kind of like an open.
Right. We don't really know.
Right. Whereas with Marvel, the canon of the Marvel Universe is so rich and thick and immense. And we know that you're going back to maybe the Galactus trilogy or to some
or
other
Secret
thing.
Wars
Secret
or...
Wars. It's like there's just so, there's like 200 years of movies to be made from the great rich canon of the Marvel history, whereas the Star Wars history and the whole Star Wars story, it'll be created from scratch.
Yeah.
Not from scratch,
no,
but extrapolating on tangents and things like that. Super fascinating. I don't know. Like I'm optimistic on both. They have to both do well. I mean, you know what? I think you know why they have to both do well, Chris, is just the appetite for them. The appetite is insatiable.
Absolutely. But it was...
How many times have we heard over the last 10 years, you and I doing this show, it's going to end soon.
Well, but you know what? You talking about Star Wars or Marvel?
Well, I'll say Marvel.
Marvel is insatiable. That keeps on going. And we keep and we've said lots. We have, as you say, we have said that people are saying it's going to end. The superhero... Mm-hmm. Genre is going to die off.
Right.
Now with Star Wars, I think we saw with Solo, A Star Wars Story, it didn't do as well.
Yeah.
But I think that was all marketing. I think that was too much too fast.
Right.
We had just had a Christmas movie.
Right.
And then 2 months later we had Solo.
Yeah, but I want Marvel can do it. I want four movies of the year. As part of the same story.
Right.
But
right.
The thing with the Marvel ones is you can get away with it because the four movies, even though they're part of the same story, they are independently different characters.
Right.
Right. Right. That are tied together. Whereas with Star Wars, I mean, unless you have, you know, Han Solo in this movie and Chewie in this movie and this in this movie, there's less characters.
Right.
There's less main characters and they all have to be in the same one and then you get fatigued of them, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know.
The other thing we didn't talk about, we ran out of time, is talking about things ending, is Netflix is ending their tenure with Marvel.
That's right? Another thing ending. 2019.
Lots of things ending, but I'm sure there's going to be lots of things beginning as well.
That's right. You know what's not ending?
What's that?
You know what is ending, actually?
Our show.
Our show. Yeah. Because we're out of time.
We are.
And Comic Culture is produced by Chris Owen, engineered by Chris as well. We're at comicbookdaily.com. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. And you know where you are. You are heading into your local comic book shop and supporting your local comic book shop.
And please go out and have yourself a wonderful day.